Yeah, we're up to Siman Tzadik. Top of the page and see if you'd gimel. See if you'd gimel. No, sorry, don't you gimel, say it's Yudalet. Yudalet. Yeah. I was always wondering, do you have the same, do these Mishnahs have the same page? Is it Kuf Chof Gimel? It is the same page. All right. Okay. Okay. Hello there.
Hi, Rebbe. How are you?
Very good, very good. Okay, so let's learn some more halachas about Tefillah B'Tzibur. Some very yisurdistige halachas tonight. Okay, so if you dalet, starting with the following halacha. How are you? All good?
All good, thank you. Nice to see you.
Yashkim Adam Leveis HaKnesses. You should be Mashkim Leveis HaKnesses. What does it mean, Yashkim Leveis HaKnesses? Early. Be early, early bird in shul. Why? Kdei in order. Sheimone, you should be counted in with Asor Rishonim. You should be part of the Asor Rishonim. Part of the first 10. Try to be one of the first 10 in shul. Now, this is a greater challenge. If you're davening in a shul, Belz B'Smedesh, where there's 800 people. It's a smaller challenge. If the minion is 11 and they're struggling for a minion, so it's easier there. So, but you should be part of the Asor Rishonim. It's interesting. Shulchan Aruch Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkot Mem Zayin Kedei Sheimone V'Dafka Sheispalad Sham Imahem. So it has to be that you're davening with them. So no point if you're struggling for a minion and you're 9 and you're calling the famous tzenta. You know the tzenta. The tenth person to come. You say, come on, tzenta, you know, just join in. He says, no, I don't need to love mincha now. It doesn't matter that you'll be the tzenta. You'll be part of the asori shoinim. You want, you know, it doesn't help. If you don't daven there, you know, there's no halacha to be, it doesn't count. There's no point running into shul and say, okay, I've done my bit, and you run out. You've got to stay there and daven there. V'ari, that's interesting now. Ari lo yoyo min ari shoinim. Ari ha-kodosh, the Arizal, he was not part of the first ten. He didn't. Why not? He had to sometimes be excused. So Joel Choyli was not particularly well. That's very interesting. Now, but he says there's another reason as well why the Ari failed to be part of the Son of Shoenim, which is he made a point of entering the shul whilst wearing a talis and tefillin. Now, we know there's a great halacha, we've spoken about this previously. There's a great inyan to enter the shul wearing talis and tefillin. It's a great inyan. It's a very great inyan. And the Ari was very makbil in that. Now, what if you've got a choice? You can either be part of the Asur Shoinim, but that means you'll put on the talis and tefillin in shul, option number one. You're going to be number seven. Number seven. You know, like the racing things, they've got the marathon, they've got a number here. So you're going to be number seven as you enter. Now, the other option is that you're going to put on talis and tefillin outside before you enter the shul. But thereby, you'll inevitably be number 12, number 13. There's going to be other people coming first. Now, one option is to lock the door. You wait outside. One option. But if you don't go that far, you know, just let... That's also an option. But that seems to be too radical. That's the expectation. Don't go that far. So you can be number... You can either put... Again, so option number one is, you're going to be outside showing it, but you're going to put on talis and tefillin in shul. Got one advantage, one disadvantage. Option number two is you're going to put on talis and tefillin outside, but you won't be part of the association. What's better? Both are great milers, but they come with a certain price tag. So Mishnah Berurah has said, no. I prefer not to be part of the association. I am not going to be part of the association, but I will ensure to enter. I'll enter the shul whilst wearing talis and tefillin. Very interesting. It's very interesting. Pardon? You can't. That's too much, really. That's too pressurizing. No, ideally, of course, you should. But if you are... ideally, it's the best. Be the first one, put on talis and tefillin before, and get it all done, of course. But we're talking about humans here. And it's going to be very difficult. Now, I want to say that it's very interesting, this halacha of entering talis and tefillin, with talis and tefillin, it's there's some shuls which enable that more than others. We spoke about that. Ideally, a person should really walk from home, wearing talis and tefillin. But you can't really do that in chutzlar. It's not possible to do that. The second best is to do what? To put it outside. And it's very interesting that some shuls don't really allow for such a. It's harder to do it than others. some shuls, it's not really so hard. You just need the space to do that. But in some shuls, it's completely established that you put on talis and tefillin before you enter the main Beis Medrash where you're going to be davening. In other shuls, it's quite an awkward thing to do. It depends very much on the layout and on the custom of that particular place. But Ari said, I prefer to put on talis and tefillin before I walk into shul, and I'm not going to be part of those asar shanim. That's a choshev was him, yeah. Pardon? Yeah, the Yekis do. Yes, yeah, that's true, yeah. Yeah, so Ari Taka did, it wasn't Ari, but Ari probably didn't do like this Nusach, like this Minik, probably. But alternatively, it could be that we're talking about at that stage of davening. So he said brachas already, and now he said brachas already, and now entering the shul like this. He's actually thinking about it. It's very likely that Ari said brachas beforehand. It's very likely. Pardon? No, that they would say upon waking up, they would say all the brachas and only put on talis tefillin then, and then entering shul. No, he's just asking that. There is a certain minik, which is Yekish minik, the pure old Yekish minik, is to put on talis and tefillin before Baruch Shoma. You say brachas first, and only then you say you put on talis and tefillin. Before Baruch Shoma, you say put on talis and tefillin. So you asked, how would that fit? Okay. So if you can either put on talis and tefillin first,
what is special about the first 10 people?
Because it's a great, the Shulchan Aruch says, you should try to be one of the first 10. I want to tell you that you should try to be one of the first 10. Try to be one of the first 10. Now the Mishnah brings a Zoya Kodesh as follows. With Zoya Nosoi, Pash Nosoi in the Zoya says, Isa, she's asked for a Soro B'yachad, 10 people, men should gather, v'yovoy le'beis ha'kneses. Zoya brings, can you imagine that? 10 men should gather and only then walk together to shul like that. Isn't that an interesting minute? Try to introduce that. With, yeah, I suppose, yeah. Very interesting. Now, there is an interesting of Chaim Kanievsky, that what would you be, does that work or does that not work? What would you say? You want to be one of those sonny shonim, but you see there's a few people behind you, and you're not just like, so you try to speed up, yeah. And then you manage to be one of the associated, but you quickly need to, let's say you need to wash hands, or you feel you need to excuse for a second, whatever. Can you run, take your place, you open up the siddur, yeah, Baruch Hashem, you made it, associated, and then you go out, you do what you need to do, and you come back. Does that work, yes or no? You're part of the siddur shonim, but you're part of the siddur shonim, strictly speaking, but you didn't settle down, you didn't start davening, you just like, came in, you checked in, you logged in. You know that all those people that you like check in, but you clock in and then you walk out. Yeah, so
you need to
daven
a bit.
You need to daven a bit, then it's fine. You say if you walk and walk out, then it'll be okay. Yes, I find it very interesting. Chaim Kanievsky seems to be holding. It seems to be holding. It's quoted, and perhaps misquoted, but he said no. Once you entered and you sat down, you're part of the Sorei Shoinim. It doesn't say anywhere Sorei Shoinim is a condition of davening. It says you need to be the mashkimim of going to shul. It shows the love and care and cover for the shul that you're rushing to. It doesn't mean you need to daven. You need one of the, you're in the first 10 entering there. Interesting, if that's true. Yeah, okay. Now, Siv Tezvav, I wonder if you feel that is applicable today or it is not. I wonder. So, the Shulchan Aruch says as follows. Im nisha otam yechidi, if a person remains the last in shul, beveis haknesses in shul, shabbasotas in the fields. So we know that historically, the shuls were often outside the residential area. And the shuls would be in the soldiers, in the fields. I mean, Siv Tezvav. Simon Tzadik, Siv Tezvav. So the shuls were often out in the fields. So now, if a person is left behind in that field shul, he's left behind. So if a person is left, or you're filling basic message, or even in a shul in town, imitfilas avis, if we are discussing tfilas avis, Shemis Palim Belailo, which is normally davened by night, Chayev Chaveiro, his friend needs to stay there, Lehamtin, Loyat Shisam Tfilos. You must stay there until your friend has completed his davening. Why? Kedei in order shleis balel betfilosa, shouldn't get all confused for his tefillah. V'yesh machmirim, some are further stringent. Afilu v'yoyim, even by day, right? Uvavate knesis shalonu shebohem bu'ir. And some say, no, that stringency is a stringency not only by night, by Mari, when it's dark, but the same also applies by day. So you go to shul by day, shachris, in Kol Yaakov, if there's one person still davening, you have to wait until it finishes. Not only such an extreme case as Mariv by night in a field far away from town in a shul in a field, even in residential area, nevertheless. Ve'imayrich, however, if he does extended davening, bevakosho tachnunim, if he's got an extremely long davening and he adds bakoshois and tachnunim, and he has got an exceptionally long davening, eynoichav la'amtinu, you don't have to wait for your friend so far. So a very interesting halacha here. The halacha is, don't leave your friend behind. I mean, imagine the Ma'ariv scenario. Imagine if this out in the fields, it's a good few minutes walk, it's pitch dark, no street lights, No torches, and it's pitch dark out there, and everybody's finished davening already, and he's still davening, long shemen esa, and then you have to wait until he finishes. Now, if he's really pushing it, he's really adding more to this and more, then you don't have to wait, you can go home. But the other opinion says, not only for Ma'ariv, but that also applies for Shachris too. Shachris, don't leave your friend, and not only if it's in the field, but also if it's in town as well. Yeah, you can't be the last. Don't leave the last one behind like this. Don't leave the last one. Walk home with him. Walk out with him. What about if the person who is Marich Betfila, he's still davening Shemana Esra. Do you know why he's still davening Shemana Esra? Because he's come late. That's why he's still davening Shemana Esra. What would you say then? Exactly. So his fault. Why if he comes on that? Look what Shmuel says. V'davkim nichnasu b'shavin. They've called mem ches. That's only true if they entered simultaneously. Aval im nichnas yechidi b'shav shelo yuchal esayim emoeh. But if he's come late and he isn't not able to finish with them, tfilosoi, he's davening ein chayv lahamti. No, you don't have to wait for him. Tekeman shiroi shelo yuchal esayim emoeh v'nichnas. Why is he coming so late? He knew he was not going to be able to finish. He got a milsa shen mefachet. It's obvious. If he's come so late and he starts davening late, he obviously doesn't care to stay there on his own. Em nishu yechidi miu midas chasidus lahamti naf b'chayik. But it's still nice. So it's chassidus, it's still nice to wait for him, but you don't have to. Now, the obvious question that we got to address is, okay, what about nowadays? Nowadays, you're talking about not shul in the field, you're talking about residential, fully built up area, but it's still dark, Mariv, you've got 11 p.m. Mariv. Say what's the latest Mariv in Hagers? 11:40. You've got 11:40 Mariv in Hagers, and the last one is still dabbling, it's finishing a minute or two off. Everybody that's left, you're going to switch off the light. It's the last minute. You know it's the last minute. You're going to switch off the light. Now, the guy's still davening, and you know, you can see that it's pretty much finishing. It's not going to be another half an hour. It's going to finish in 2 minutes. Do you have to wait for him, yes or no? This is the last minion. And he's the last person davening the minion. Do you have to wait for him, yes or no?
Well, this is everyone in the minion.
No. One of them. You have to fight it out with him, yeah. You have to fight. Who's going to be number nine waiting for him? That's another question. Yeah, it doesn't have to be everybody. Good question, actually, you ask. I didn't think of that. Who is the one that has to be kind of that mitzvah? Yeah, I don't know. What's that?
Second last.
Second last? Yeah, but if everybody else is finishing Olenu at the same time, who is that second last? Who is it? He's just schlepping. He's just davening long. What would you say?
It's Nachlekes, maybe a spiritual danger. This is the physical danger. You have to wait for him because it's dark in the fields and it's late at night. The other opinion...
So you're saying that if it's physical danger, then nowadays it wouldn't apply so much. It's built up, it's lit up. But if it's ruchnistige, if it's... That could apply also nowadays as well. Interesting. So, it's very, very interesting. The assumption is, but it's interesting what you said, something to think about. The assumption is they were talking about physical dangers. That is the assumption, although I hear what you're saying. I mean, shadim is something that, you know, but Lamai said the assumption is that it is something, it is a physical danger, and therefore the poskim take this halacha much more lenient nowadays. And they say if it is in Highfield Avenue, or you're on Mowbray, which is pretty safe, so you're pretty safe, last minion, you don't have to wait for him. There's still a Midas Chasidus, but the halacha really doesn't apply because you can assume that it's probably okay. There are people who are makbid on that. They will not. They will always make sure that the last one doesn't leave on himself. You've seen people who are aware of this halacha. They'll make a point. So the last person to leave is not going to leave. Is not to leave himself. It's pressurizing. Yeah, I hear. But on the other hand, it's. It might be pressurizing, yeah. Yeah. So what are you saying? That you should not pressurize him because that if you're a machmir and you want to stay behind for that person who is davening, you might not be doing him a favor at all. Yeah. I hear. Yeah. Interesting point as well. Yeah. Now, the next halacha is a very, very key halacha. That is really the key halacha with regards to davening with a minion. We've discussed previously that there's an obligation to daven with a minion. There's an obligation to daven with a minion, and we've spoken about the perhaps unfortunate nusach of Yishtadel. There's an obligation to daven with a minion. Now, on the other hand, how far do you have to go to daven with a minion? Now, we know, and this is a fact, that there was countless, I mean, Dan Abramsky famously was brought up in a village, such a small village, somewhere in the northern Germany, I believe, that there was no minion where he was brought up. He was brought up, Dan Abramsky, the famous Dan Abramsky of the Gdolei Ador, he was brought up as a child. And so my shver tells me that. Well, there was no minion in that place. A farm here, a farm there. Altogether, there's two fathers, a couple of sons in this family, a couple of sons in that family, and that's it. So there was no minion where he was brought up. Well, they did Yom Noiroim for the Yom Noiroim. They called in and they paid a minion, as we discussed in previous halachas, that, you know, the halacha to get a minion to pay for salaried minion men. So that's a fact. It's a fact. There was many places where in the Hasidic world, in the Yekish world, in the Litvish world, there was plenty of people that, for panos reasons, they lived in places where there was no minion. There's no question about it. We can't change history. That's a fact. So how are we going to do? There is a halachot with the minion, or there's no halachot with the minion. There's a fum people, elicha people. So how can they live in a place where there is no minion? How can you? We learned that you've got to daven with a minion. The answer is that there's a limit how far you must go to get to a minion. So everything discussed now is if you are in a place where there is a minion. You live in Edgware, you live in Golders Green, you live in Stamford Hill. You live in a place with a minion. You have to daven with a minion. However, if you are too far from a minion, you don't have to go to a minion. Now, what is considered far? How far do you have to travel to go to a minion? How far? What's considered far? And what's considered not far? So that's what the Shulchan Aruch discusses here in Tziftei Zayin. Ha'olech b'derech, if a person is traveling, v'yigia lo ir, and he reaches a city, v'roitze lolun bo, he wants to sleep there. Now, if it is in his direction where he wants to go, im lefonov ad abo milin, if there is 4 milin, from his place to his destination where he wants to sleep. Mokum Shispan Basar, this from where he is now to destination, there's 4 mil. And there, after 4 mil, there is a minion. You've got to go there. Vele Achav, and behind him, so if there is no destination forward, there is no minion. But behind him there was a minion. So Ad Mil used to travel a mil, Kedelis Bal Basar not to have in the minion. What it says follows. If I'm going somewhere where there's a minion, I need to travel 4 mil to go to the best of the minion. More than 4 mil, I don't have to travel to get to a minion. If it's behind me, if I pass the place already where there was a minion, I must return and go back 1 mil to get to the minion. By the way, how much is a mil? How much? You're talking about how long it takes to travel a mil, to walk a mil. Let's talk one step before that. No, you're right. You're absolutely correct. But if you're talking about a distance, how much is a mil? Approximately a kilometer, a bit more, approximately. So that's how far I need to go. So if I'm, let's say I will be a good example, I'm traveling from here to, I'm going, I'm going to Manchester, and I don't know if I'm now 4 mil away from Manchester. So if I'm within 4 mil, I must now get to Manchester and daven with the minyan there. If I'm before the 4 mil, then I don't have to daven with the minyan. I don't have to. But if I right, but if I I'm just left London, so I need to go back a mil to daven with the minyan. I don't have to go more than that to a minyan. So what does that teach us really in terms of how far do you need to go to a minyan? How far do you need to go to a minyan? How far? Yeah, so what this is talking about is a physical distance of 1 mil. Now it takes, as you're saying, the Gemara tells us that it takes about 18 minutes to walk a mil. So that means they need to travel 18 minutes if a minyan is in your surround. 18 minutes you need to travel. Now what about if you're not walking, if your means of transportation is a car, or a horse, a scooter, or a bike? Is it the distance of a kilometer, of a mil, or is it the 18 minutes of driving?
The time.
So many poets can say what you're saying. That's generally the consensus. There are people who are more lenient than they say it's the distance. So if it takes you 2-3 minutes and that's it, then you don't have to travel more than that. But many poets can say you've got to travel 18 minutes for a minyan. 18 minutes you need to travel for a minyan. If the minyan is further away than 18 minutes for you, then you don't have to go to the minyan. So if you're going specifically to that destination for the minyan, you're going there for the minyan's sake, is that considered back or is that considered forward? What would you say? To which is it more comparable?
Forward.
Why would you say forward?
Going to
yeah, but that's if you're anyway going to Manchester. You're anyway going to that particular place. So you have to hurry up more to get to that. But really what the person can say, it's not comparable to forward, it's more backward because you're making that detour for the minyan. So it's like back and it's 1 mil. Interesting point that you're raising. But that's what how the poskim learn it. Achonim learn it. So you've got to travel 18 minutes for a minyan. I heard once from a very choshev yid in Goldstein. He told me that once he missed, a person living in Goldstein, a choshev rov, a choshev yid, he told me that he missed the last ma'ariv in Goldstein. And he was screaming as to whether he must go to Stamford Hill, which has got Biala, and it's got Pinters, it's got various minion factories that go much later than, 12 o'clock. They go, and they only go strong at that time of day, That's when it starts, the party really starts that time of day. So you want to know if you need to go from Golden Screen to Stamford Hill to, as they call it, to Chapamarev. Yes or no?
That'd be too far.
Too far?
I think the quickest you can do it, 25, 30 minutes?
So he told me, I don't know what he said, that since considering the time of day which we're talking about, which is 11:30 p.m. So he says, without if you're lucky with the traffic lights and you're lucky with your car and you're lucky with it, you can perhaps do it within 20 minutes or so if you're very lucky. Depending where in Golders Green, depending when Stamford Hill. Remember, the Pinter is very much on the edge of Stamford Hill. It's really the beginning of Stamford Hill. So he said that he felt that he's obligated to do that. But now the question is, the $1 million question for us Edgerarian is, and that is very relevant, a question which is asked very frequently, what happens if you miss the last Ma'ariv in Edgware? When is the latest Ma'ariv in Edgware? 10:30, the last Ma'ariv. 10:35, you suddenly realize, oh no, Ma'ariv, it's 10:35, 10:40. Do you need to jump into the car and go to Haggis? Yes or no? Pardon? Haggis goes to, what's the latest in Haggis? 11:30 we're here. 11:40 is the last in Haggis. Yeah, I don't know exactly, no. Is that what it is? Yeah? Do you have to go to Haggis?
Well, you can do it 10 minutes, 11, 12 minutes.
I believe the answer is, it might be that based on what we're seeing over here, if you've got a car, assume you've got a car, and assume you can do it within 18 minutes, the locha might be that, and the locha might be that. Now, the argument why some people might not do it, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, we learned earlier that some people are potter from Tula Betzibo, no? Who's potter from Tula Betzibo? Was Choyli, and there was on the Choyli we had some other disclaimers. Somebody's not well, or somebody is very weak. Somebody feels that if I'm going to go to that Maariv now, I'm going to be flat out. It's going to be it now. For the rest of the week, you won't see me. And my performance is going to drop. I'm not going to be able to work. And I'll be flat out till Shabbos afternoon. You won't see. There's nothing left of me. So if you feel that fits that in that category, there might be a limud zchus. Again, it's hard to understand. But I'm just saying that's why I miss some people. But I think in principle, the halacha is 18 minutes, you got to go. By the way, somebody told me that he doesn't have a car. And I was asked once this shayla, but somebody doesn't have a car. So then I told him, you don't have a car. Then? Public transport. How long does it take with public transport? 2 hours plus, yeah. So if they're not striking, so then the halacha obviously is that no, he's not mechuyev to go. So that's how that's perhaps yeah. Yes, we just mentioned that, and I think that there is a machloekas. We're going. You're right. So the army kill him. There's both opinions. Generally, the approach of the poskim is that it's a time. Yeah. Yeah. So you could. I think what you're pointing out is correct. So there are some authorities who hold, strictly speaking, it's the mil, it's the distance. And you don't have to go, more than a mil. And it's far more than a mil. So. Yeah, it is. Definitely. Yeah. So you could argue perhaps that you could be lenient based on that, perhaps. Maybe there's some poskim hold that it's. I know. I don't know if Dirshu brings this. I didn't see it in Dirshu. I don't know if they bring it or not. Yeah, it is. I can see 59. Yeah. Yeah, he brings it from in Avozna. Avozna is a bit maker. It sounds like yeah. Yeah. So I'm getting. I think your point is a valid point. So that's an interesting question. What about financial loss? Yeah. So that's a very very interesting question. If a person would lose money by doubling the minion. Yeah, so is that called financial loss, the petrol? How much is the petrol to go to the screen and back? That's even with a Previa?
Is it half shield? No.
What if it's?
No
half shield if you're driving, we learned. Yeah. So I don't know, it's not considered financial loss. I don't think that the petrol. I think it's hard to argue that it's a financial loss. I think it's hard to argue. Although, if a person, for instance, to take a taxi, you don't have to do that. I did see it. Well, Shemai, you don't have to take a taxi. If a person doesn't have a car, it's costing £20 each way. That you don't have to go. Okay, more on this tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem. I wish you a very good evening.